Here is another short episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Podcast. I've called it the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom for a Sunday, and it's your way of beginning the week with a little bit more guidance and armor and strength to help you amplify your mindset and help you feel like your better self. And today we are talking about going against the grain of negativity and really kind of understanding how our mindset plays a huge part. So you will listen to a friend of mine, fantastic coach. She's also the co-host of the fantastic Self-Care Club. And she's written a book with her co-host, Lauren Mishcon. And it's incredible to see what they've achieved in such a short amount of time. And I know that if you listen to any of their episodes on the Self-Care Club, you'll want to join in on their conversations as much as I want to join in. They talk about all the different things of really manifesting a life through the lens of self-care and without the self-judgment and self-criticism that we often give ourselves. So here's my conversation with the brilliant Nicole Goodman.
What we really uncovered on the show and what I talk to a lot of my clients about when it comes to people pleasing, because it's a universal issue, isn't it? We struggle, especially women, more so than men, because women are told to, as you said, be quiet, be polite, be less, don't be embarrassing, just stay quiet and stay small. So we're taught that from a very young, early age. And what we really uncovered on the show and what I do with all my clients is it's not about the people pleasing itself. It's about working on the disappointing others, working on being okay with not always being likable, working on being okay with not always being agreeable. So it's working on how the other person is viewing you and you being okay with the fact that you might disappoint someone else. It's not about the act of people pleasing. It's about the fear of what will they think? Will they think less of me? Actually, sometimes it's okay because we're so tuned into what the other person is thinking about us. We don't take a minute to say, well, what do I think about them? Or what do I think about their behavior? Because it's always, oh no, I don't want them thinking this, or I don't want them thinking badly, or I don't want them to think that I'm difficult, or I don't want them to think that I'm loud, or I don't want them to think that I'm assertive, aggressive, whatever the word is. But actually, it's okay if not everybody likes you or not everybody agrees with you. And I think it's that piece, just getting comfortable with the fact that you might disappoint others. Well, you will disappoint others. By standing in your authentic truth, you are going to be disruptive. And it's about being okay with being a disruptor.
I love that. Absolutely. And you know what I was thinking when you were saying all of that is that we're so conditioned, aren't we, as women, to want to be likable and to be agreeable and to not offend people. And I have had numerous conversations over the years with my husband about this. And he's like, why do you care? I just kind of think it would be so great to live in this sort of black and white world of where men do definitely have more of that kind of like, they don't like me, you know, whatever, where women overthink and ruminate, and that one tiny little thing that you possibly said wrong, or maybe you did assert yourself, or you did disrupt something because you felt it was important to do so, your power's then taken away because you sit there going, well, they probably don't like me anymore. They're probably talking about me. And it's just kind of, it's so hard, isn't it? Because you're trying, I think very often we kind of take two steps forward. We do the thing that's really scary, like the, I'm going to say what I want to do and have my boundaries. But then we take two steps back because then we fear the outcome. We fear the repercussions, the ostracization, the rejection, all the things that can come. So primal, isn't it?
And that's why you have to then get really strong and really courageous. And as I always say to my clients, pull that brave card out your back pocket from your jeans and say, well, what do I think? How do I feel about this? Do I feel that I have done the right thing by me, by my emotional well-being, by my own standards, by my own integrity? Because that's what we're standing for, right? But just because it doesn't fit in with somebody else's needs doesn't mean that we shouldn't stand for it anyway. Always stand up for what is true for you. Always stand up for your values and for what is integral to you as a woman, because you're with you for the rest of your life. You're always going to be there. So that relationship needs nurturing more than anything else. And this is what I say to my kids all the time, and I do tell myself this, you don't know what people think. You are never going to know what people think. Even if they tell you, they might not be telling the truth. You are never going to know. So behaving in a way that tries to control what they think is completely pointless, because you're never going to know. And you don't have any control over that. So you might as well behave and act how you feel is the right way.
And that's actually so freeing, isn't it? Once you have really accepted, like you say, you really don't know what people are thinking of you, then you might as well just let it all go and do the thing. But you mentioned a word just then, it was values. And I think so many of us can stroll through life and not actually even know what we stand for.
Yes.
And what our values are, and that word integrity. And we get, maybe as we're getting older, maybe as we're getting more awakenings, you know, such as having an ADHD diagnosis, which is explaining basically the whole back history of your whole life. And I know this from the messages I'm getting and from the women I'm working with, that suddenly they've got a new level of understanding of their behavior, their mental health struggles, their challenges, the way they learn, the way they do things, the way they parent, like every facet of their life. It's like the lights are suddenly going on in the house.
Yeah. God, I just got shivers as you said that. Incredible.
Yeah. And it is incredible. And it's almost like the next chapter. It's like the before diagnosis, after diagnosis.
Yeah.
So now it's working with a new set, or not even a new set, like a new way of thinking, which is values-based. And like you say, it's authenticity, integrity, honesty, self-trust, like all of these things.
But all of these things that we're not taught, the conversation is not open for us to do that. It is more so for men. And I discuss this with my husband a lot. He is not taught to not say what he thinks, because when he says what he thinks, when he stands up for what he believes, it's considered assertive, which is a good thing in society. When I do that, it's considered aggressive, which is a bad thing for a woman in society. So the narrative around it is totally different. And what we have to do, and what we are starting to do, is change that narrative. And we can only do that by, like I said before, being disruptive, being courageous, and really just doing the really scary thing, which is not the likable thing, not the agreeable thing, but actually living your life for you. And that is actually really radical. It's like a radical act to do that. So this work isn't easy, whether it's before diagnosis, after diagnosis, or if you don't have a diagnosis at all. It is always hard, isn't it, Kate? Because we've been doing this for a few years now. It's always scary, but it is always exhilarating.
What you're describing then is what I wanted to ask you about, the evolvement of how your career has panned out. We've sort of just saying before about the transition from being a hairdresser into coaching, into the course that you did, and how your coaching has now transitioned. And now you've got this amazing podcast that you're doing with a co-host, and you're doing things that you possibly, you know, wouldn't have dreamed of a couple of years ago. But how did you find that courage to really step out of that comfort zone? Because again, listeners will really resonate with this, because I see that you're multi-passionate. You've got these different facets of your career, what you're doing. It all comes back to, I guess, probably one of your values, which is wanting to feel fulfilled and driven, ambitious.
Yeah.
But that, again, being ambitious and driven and wanting to achieve can also be seen as aggressive and too assertive as a woman, and like, stay in your lane, you're a mum, you're in your 40s, you know, this is all of this narrative. So how have you managed to contend with all these different things that I've just mentioned about the multi-passionate career and really stepping out of your comfort zone and delving into this new world of podcasting and speaking to some really high profile people?
Well, it's not been smooth. It's been amazing, and I don't regret any of it. And I'm very proud of how hard I've worked to get where I am. But people have you filed in a certain way. So when I suddenly stepped from being a hairdresser into a coach, people didn't want to update that file. They still want to see me as a hairdresser. But I'd done this amazing course. I'd been transformed from the inside out, and I did feel very different. And I think I was showing up, I was showing up very differently. I was louder. I was voicing my opinions. It was probably really messy at first, but people don't like that because they get comfortable with you being a certain way. But the trick is that I'm not living for them. I'm not living for what your comfort is. I'm living for my life and what's important to me. And that word again, values and integrity, was at the core of all of it. Like, what is valuable to me? What's important to me? What's fulfilling to me? Running my hairdressing salon was great. And it has been, I had an amazing career and I've had my own business for many years, but it wasn't fulfilling me in the same way that it used to. And the coaching just filled me up. It's about following the energy, the good energy, the things that give you joy, the things that make you feel alive, the things that scare the absolute crap out of you. It's following all of that because I kind of couldn't get off of it. Because then the thought of just going back to my hair salon and just, I don't mean just being a hairdresser, but just going back to my old way or my old life, it just didn't feel enough. Mm. And then there was all that guilt of, well, it should be enough. You're running your own business. You've got a healthy family. Like, why do you need more? There was all that noise around. And actually, it's okay to want more. It's great to want more. If I am the same person today that I am in 2 years' time, then what have I been doing? What's been going on for 2 years? What have I been doing for 2 years? It's boring. I always want to be growing and evolving. But for a long time, I felt guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is that the guilt wasn't stopping me from doing it. I just had this sort of heavy weight on my back whilst I was doing it. I felt guilty for all of my lovely, gorgeous life not being enough. And to all the people that think that, because I coach so many women on this, when they're like, no, I'm really grateful and I know I should be happy, but something just feels like it's missing. Like, they feel guilty for it. Well, a man wouldn't feel guilty for going after what he wants. So why do we? Because we're taught to stay small, we stay polite, be the domestic goddess, be the person that just provides for everybody else and the carer, but actually don't want for things for yourself. But I think this podcast that you're doing now and the podcast that I do is such a lovely way to show that it's really important to live your full life, however that looks. And whether that's being a full-time mum or whether that's having a full-on career or whether it's something very much in between, then I say whatever it is that fills you up, whatever it is that gives you energy in life, whatever it is that makes you feel whole as a woman, follow that. So your self-care is going to look different every day, because some days you're going to wake up energized and you're going to want to go for a run or a long walk. And some days you're going to wake up really tired and you're going to need that bubble bath with a candle. And it doesn't matter what it is, as long as you are having that, again, that awareness of where you're at and what it is you need, and then allowing yourself to have it, allowing yourself to actually look after yourself. And this is one of the things we hear so much through the show, that women don't know how to make the time for themselves to invest in self-care. And what we do on the show is we debunk the whole wellness world. We talk about what works and what really doesn't, because we try it all out. And all of our favorite practices of self-care are always free, as in they cost nothing, and the ones that take up very, very little time, because we are all so time poor. So self-care doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be grand, and it doesn't have to take 5 hours, and it doesn't have to be going for a really expensive massage and coming back feeling really guilty that you've just spent that. That is not self-care. Self-care can be just sitting down for 5 minutes and breathing deeply because you've just been feeling really stressed. Self-care can be going to bed at 10 o'clock instead of 11:30 and putting your phone down early. Self-care can be really, really simple. Self-care is saying no. Self-care is not people-pleasing and standing up for what you believe to be right, back to integrity. So many beautiful things, and it is so broad, which is why we are totally obsessed with self-care, because it's an endless well.
It really is. It really is. And again, I'm going to come back to the ADHD sort of format of maybe not understanding what we need. Sometimes what happens is we work on, it's almost like a juggernaut of hyperfocus, crazed energy, and we're doing, and then we get to a point and it's almost like we're running and we just run slap bang into a brick wall. So we don't slow down. We don't kind of like get to a point where we've kind of like do a bit of breathing and then stop and stretch. Like, there's none of that. It's like full on, like pegging it through a brick wall. And then we have to collapse for like a day. Like, we just have to go to bed. And it has a really big impact on your nervous system. So that's when very often anxiety is just there kind of bubbling away, low-lying anxiety, where the sleep kind of comes in, where we're not eating correctly, we're going to bed too late.
So yes.
It's very much like this knock-on effect.
Well, can we talk for a minute about the five pillars of wellness, five pillars of health, right? The most important parts of your health have got to be in place before you even start with the bubble baths and the candles and the breathing. The five pillars are, and this is one of the main things that we've learned on the show, right? The five pillars are sleeping, hydration, movement or exercise, meditation or just mindfulness, and nutrition. So those five things are really all you need to work on in your life in order to live from a place of wellness. And often the two that are most neglected are sleep and food, and they are the absolute fundamentals of your health. No matter what is going on in your life, you will always have access to shoving a banana in your mouth or drinking a glass of water. Because so often it's like, oh, I don't have time to make lunch. Well, it's not about you don't have to. You have to make time, because if you're not feeding your body, you are no good for anybody, whether it's your boss at work, whether it's your kids, your husband, your friends. You have got to prioritize those five things in your life in order to live. It's not even live well, it's just to live.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to this shorter episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing podcast. I've called it the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom because I believe there's so much wisdom in the guests that I have on and their insights. So sometimes we just need that little bit of a reminder, and I hope that has helped you today, and look forward to seeing you back on the brand new episode on Thursday. Have a good rest of your week.